I'm Rayburn Johnson.
And I'm Steve Sensenig.
Welcome to another episode of Beyond the Box.
Here's a chance to step outside the boundaries of institutional religion and explore the wide open spaces of our freedom in Christ.
We don't claim to have a corner on the truth, and a lot of what you will hear is just two guys thinking out loud.
So come on and join us as we journey Beyond the Box.
Howdy, howdy.
I'm always curious how we're going to start these episodes.
Hello, neighbor.
Yeah, one of the previous ones, you said, yo, yo, yo.
Yo, yo, yo.
When I listened to it, I was like, oh, man, we sound like old school rappers or something.
I don't think we'd pass.
No, I don't think so.
I listened to old school rap. I did that.
I did there for a while. Early DC Talk was I was really into
God
that.
God is doing a new
now,
thing.
Now see, there he goes singing again. Oh my goodness. Tony Sisk, I'm so sorry.
I already said Dylan was our hype man.
That's right. Yeah, my son Dylan's here in the studio.
Ooh, I like that word.
Yeah, yeah. We actually got our pictures taken today for the website.
So we did indeed. My wife, the photographer.
That's right. Maybe we'll have them up by the time this airs.
Well,
see what we look like.
You can print it out, put a target on it, you know, have fun with it.
They can burn us at the stake in effigy.
Yes, that would be in Ephesus. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know anybody that lives in Ephesus.
So they could like print it out. They could actually burn it.
They could burn it.
So if you get really mad at what we say today,
that's right,
let this be your opportunity.
There you go.
So we'll have that in PDF format for all the listeners out there. So if they can blow it up, make a poster, throw darts at it, whatever. Oh, wow.
How you doing, Ray?
Man, I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing great, too.
We had our bagel this morning.
Yes, we did.
Lots of cream cheese.
Lots of cream cheese.
Your daughter Hannah had
all over
cream
my
cheese.
Daughter's face.
She looked like Santa Claus, man. That was awesome.
Hey, you know, it's funny. I told them not to put as much cream cheese on as they usually do because, you know, you and I get bagels with this thick amount of cream cheese, and so I just put a little bit on it. All she wanted to do was lick the cream cheese off the bagel.
That's the best part. I'm with her.
I guess so.
I guess her face liked it as good as her tongue.
Yeah, sure went through the napkins, though. Anyway, what do you want to talk about today? I know we've got a few topics that we're wanting to bat around, and some of our listeners have actually submitted some ideas for shows. So,
well, listener Ian has asked us to talk about a topic, and we've decided to dub this one Everyday Spirituality.
And hopefully Ian can understand us through our accents, because
yes.
I believe he lives down under.
Ian, I stand corrected. We have a listener outside of the United States.
That's right.
I tell you, I was sorry to laugh.
You laughed at me when I said we might have listeners outside
Lord,
the United
I
States.
Believe, but help my unbelief, you know? It does happen.
That's right.
Miracles
you
do happen.
Of little faith.
Yes, but Ian, this one's for you.
Australia, I think.
Yeah, Australia. Yeah. And Aussie.
Aussie.
Oh, that's a bad Australian accent.
Yeah,
you can hammer me.
Try.
Hammer me for that one. I deserve that.
Burn us an effigy just for the fake Australian accent.
Once again, print out. No. Anyway, Ian had talked about wanting to have a discussion about just getting past all of the stuff we do in the institution, all the ritual, all the formalities,
hype.
The hype. He talked a lot about the hype, which we both have only seen, but have participated in.
Yeah, we've led
on
the hype.
Multiple occasions.
Ooh, I'd like to burn myself in effigy for that.
Yeah, really. I'm with you there, bro. But anyway, we want to talk a little bit today about just what it means to be a spiritual person, what true spirituality is, and the fact that maybe, just maybe, we've gotten it wrong.
Ooh.
Maybe?
Maybe.
Maybe, just maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, this is a topic that I'll be very interested to see where we end up in this podcast because
we don't know where we're going.
We don't know where we're going. This is unscripted. No, because this is an issue that I know you and I have thought about a lot and talked about, that there's so many things that we do in the church that just now that we're outside that institution, looking back in it, we're going, why did we do that?
Yeah.
You know, the whole idea of trying to create an atmosphere for God's presence to come in.
Yeah.
And you mentioned on an episode a while ago that it kind of almost reminds you of the prophets of Baal.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the story of, was it Elijah or Elisha?
Elijah,
I always get them mixed up. Where they were trying to put on this dramatic
hype,
yeah, to get their God to show up.
Yeah.
And we tend to do the same thing with our God.
We do. And I think it goes, I think it's in the church. And I think it also, you know, with the rituals and services and all these things we do, but I think it bleeds outside of the church into your own life so that the definition of what it means to be a Christian is to you know, pray a certain way or a certain number of times every day, mm-hmm. to read your Bible a certain amount every day. Mm-hmm. All of these external things that if we can, you know, going right back to what we talked about before, if we go under that checklist mentality, if we can keep all the things on the checklist, we're a spiritual person.
Mm-hmm.
So what begins to happen is we create a paradigm called spirituality. And within that paradigm, we have kind of an interpretive lens that we view everything through. And everything, kind of like what Ian said, it's all hyped up. Mm-hmm. For instance, evangelism, instead of following the model of Jesus, which we would call discipleship, in a period of 3.5 years, only really having 12 guys.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, only really having three
He
had totally invested himself in. Instead of following that model, we follow these models that teach us that what it means to have an impact for the kingdom of God is bigger is better.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, what you need to do is if God's given you something to do, he's obviously given it to you to mass produce for the world.
Right. Exactly.
And therefore you need to go out and impact as many people as you can.
Mm-hmm.
What I find ends up happening with that, and we've talked a lot about this, is that you go a mile wide and an inch deep.
Yeah. Which is more than just a cliche. That's really the truth.
It is the truth.
It is. I think part of the problem that we've created in that, or maybe the foundation of that problem, is that we tend to think of things of God as things that don't relate to our everyday life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is why we want to talk about everyday spirituality, because I think it's entirely possible. And in fact, I think this is really what we should be doing, for us to live just our everyday life in the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Now, when I was in the Pentecostal church, that was interpreted as, you know, you're speaking in tongues all the time.
Right.
And I remember, and you know, here we go with the disclaimers, always giving disclaimers. I don't want to bash people.
You are our official disclaimer.
I'm the disclaimer
guy.
Dude. Yeah. I don't want to bash people and, you know, ridicule what's going on there, because a lot of people are very sincere about this.
Sure.
I just think maybe they're sincerely wrong. But I remember hearing reports of people saying, you know, oh man, God's just been really moving on my life. The other day at work, I could only speak in tongues all day.
Yeah.
And I'm going, how did your employer feel about that? If you weren't able to do your job because you were,
and is that godly?
Right. Because, but, you know, we're told to work hard for our employers.
Exactly.
I mean, that's
as
part of how
the
we,
Lord.
Yeah. That's how we show our respect for God, basically, is showing respect to our employers. So I don't think that we should turn the things of God into things that interrupt our life.
Yeah.
But that they become our life, so that the life we live, even though it may feel very ordinary, is totally infused with the Spirit of Christ.
That just hook completely up with what Paul said.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember which church it was, but he said, make it your aim to live quiet and peaceable lives.
Right.
And, you know, to live at peace with everyone as far as it's possible with you. And he said that was actually, if I remember this correctly, he said it was good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So obviously I don't think, you know, I think that's one of the dangers, and I'm going to put a disclaimer here for some of the listeners that are listening to us right now, you know, that might have come up in a more traditional background or are participating in a more traditional expression of church.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's as much an issue there as it is in charismatic and Pentecostal circles.
Well, I can tell you from my own experience, because I grew up in a very non-charismatic environment. I did not really come into charismatic things until like my late 20s.
Yeah.
So my whole childhood was brought up in a very cessationist, very traditional, very formal environment.
Yeah.
You know, even contemporary worship was not something that
I'm with you there.
You know, we did that on Sunday night occasionally, but Sunday morning service, definitely not. You know, you wouldn't pull out a guitar and start singing, you know, awesome.
That was the devil's music.
That's right. It was okay for Sunday night for some reason. Maybe the devil came on Sunday night.
Well, God,
I don't know,
don't you know, God didn't show up on Sunday night.
God, the Father doesn't. Jesus showed up on Sunday night.
And he's cooler.
That was what I always thought. Yeah.
That's why you can do like now in the emerging churches, you can do like your little labyrinths and all that stuff, because Jesus is there and he's hip, you know.
But anyway, I can say from my experience that I think it's just as much a problem. It just takes on a different tone. But definitely the idea that spirituality didn't intersect with everyday life.
Yeah.
What I experienced on Sunday, even at a very formal high level, didn't really
Translate.
Maybe? Yeah, that's a good word. Yeah. It didn't really translate into Monday living.
Yeah.
And I did see that even more extreme in the charismatic church.
I think it's, I guess here's kind of the way I look at it. I totally agree with what you're saying. The traditional church, I think here's what happens. In the traditional church, people don't think that your spiritual life is at all to intersect with your practical right. everyday life. In the charismatic churches, they think that spiritual life should, mm-hmm. but they define spiritual life the same way the traditional church defines
yeah.
it. And therefore, your practical life becomes just flat weird.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's like, whereas the traditional church looks at what happens in a service as a very, you know, unique thing, and it's God moving in the service, and, you know, all of these woo things happening. In the charismatic circles, we do that, but we take it to every day. So we get, you know, they get that part right.
Yeah,
charismatic
that's true. That's true.
But what happens is instead of looking at spirituality as that I am a spiritual being, and therefore it is impossible for me not to walk in spirituality in one form or another,
right.
whether it be good or whether it be bad. It's impossible for me to cut out my spiritual life.
Yeah.
You know, because Jesus said out of the abundance of the heart, which is, you know, the core of your being, your spirit, whatever you want to call it, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak.
Yeah. So what, the things you're talking about, the things you're doing,
exactly.
the music you're playing or listening to or whatever, that all should be combined with who we are. It should be who we are spiritually.
Exactly.
And so I think we draw this distinction between, and we've heard this distinction made over and over again, the sacred and the secular.
Yeah.
And so
we'd like to kill that sacred cow. Huh?
Yeah, exactly. I'll take it medium rare, please.
There you went. Get the knife out, Dylan.
That's right. So when you divide things into sacred and secular, it's not just music. You don't just have secular music, sacred music. You have your secular job, or you have a sacred job. You know, if you're a pastor, that's a ministry job. But if you're
that whole clergy lady distinction
comes
in. Right,
exactly. If you're a plumber, that's a secular job. That's, you know, marketplace. And so it's really hard to find an intersection. I'll give you a good example of an area that I'm actually kind of trying to work through right now. And this may sound like a silly example, but I have an account on Facebook. And what's been weird about that for me is that I'm starting to find all of these different areas of my life merging on Facebook. Hmm. To clarify what I mean, I have old high school friends, and I've been out of high school for 20 years. Old high school friends finding me on Facebook and adding me as a friend and chatting with me and stuff. I have college friends, and I went to a Bible college, so that was totally different from my high school, finding me on there. I have kids that I've worked with at the university finding me on there, people who read my blog or listen to our podcast finding me on there, family and relatives, even people now that I work with in the theater
right.
joining me on Facebook. So now I have all these different segments of my life. In fact, I was just talking with my wife, Christy, tonight at dinner about this, about how weird that feels for me, because I'm not really sure how to bring that into one cohesive life, that this is me, you know? So on my Facebook profile, I'm thinking, well, should I import my theology blog? Because there's a lot of people on my friends list who don't give a rip about theology. Or, you know, what should I be real serious when I write stuff on there? Or can I be funny? You know, so it's really, that's a kind of a silly example, but it demonstrates hopefully the ease that we find ourselves with, which we find ourselves segmenting our life.
Yeah.
And so when we do that with sacred versus secular, so I don't just have Christian friends on Facebook. Now I've got, you know, all kinds of friends. How do we make that into one everyday life?
Yeah.
Which I think is really the goal that we're looking for and what we're talking about here.
I think a lot of it just comes down to being real, because I think one of the biggest, problems with the woo-woo spirituality that we're
taught. Is that the organ that you keep imitating?
Dun, dun, dun. This is I'm in one of those Pentecostal, you know.
That's right, yeah. Said now! Ban-im.
My hype man over here. Come on, help me out.
Ban-im.
But anyway, I think one of the biggest deals is that we don't know how to be real in the church. You know,
right.
We have been, you know, it's not natural to be, you know, up all the time. And what I mean by that, I don't mean it's not natural to be filled with joy all the time. That's not what I'm
right.
saying. But it's not natural to smile from ear to ear to have a Red Bull adrenaline rush and to go around patting everybody on the back and tell them how blessed you are. That's not natural. Mm-hmm. And so what ends up happening is, because that's not natural and we're taught that that's what spirituality is,
right,
we begin to think that the rest of our life is really not spiritual and therefore really not important. And so I know what happened to me as I began to live out, you know, this walk with God that was in my heart. And I began to actually want to let Christ have control of my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that meant bigger everything when it came to ministry. And therefore, I couldn't be real.
Right.
And I became a very uncomfortable person to be around because people were afraid that if they opened up to me, they were going to get some chapter and verse that told them how they were supposed to fix
right
what they were doing in their life.
And some of them probably even wanted that from you.
And oh, very much. Yeah. And to this day, that still goes on because of a reputation that I built
right
as, you know, the Bible answer man. And, you know,
no, God's, that's
not Hank Hanegraaff. let me put that disclaimer there. But, you know, people began to look at me as a quote spiritual person. Now, the problem with that is, sure, it does great things for your ego.
Right, sure.
But then your entire identity begins to get invested in that so that to be real is something that, well, you just can't be real because then all of a sudden you're not Mr. Spiritual anymore.
Right.
And people will lose respect for you. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm finding as we've been walking this out over the last period of 2.5 years or so, I'm finding that the best me I can be is when I'm real.
Yeah.
That when I really say what's on my mind, when I really act out of my heart, I don't do things. I think the biggest thing is when I don't do things from a heart of obligation, but I do them from a heart of desire.
Yeah.
When I desire to do something, then God is able to show up through my life.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before I used to go down the street witnessing to people and roll down my window at stoplights and all this kind of stuff, where I used to do that before and it was very hard and very, not only very hard for me, but really very unfruitful.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm finding that my everyday interactions are becoming much more me abiding in the vine, not trying to work something up, not trying to make God do something,
right?
But where I'm simply resting in the vine. And when God sends somebody across my path, I'm able to minister out of the overflow of my heart without having to work something. And not having to work anything up. It just, it comes naturally.
Naturally. Yeah. See, and that's a great word because I think we think of natural as sort of the antithesis to supernatural. So we think natural is not exciting,
you know,
it's not great, it's not of God.
What I've come to believe in the last couple of years is that the supernatural is just God's super on your natural.
Oh, that's good.
You know,
put that on a bumper sticker.
Yeah, you like that? I could sell that. But it's just God. Isn't that what Jesus said? John 10:10, I've come to give you life and that more abundantly.
Yeah.
I've come to give you, you've already got life.
Right.
I've come to give you a super life.
Exactly.
And I think that's what Jesus is saying.
It's a God-infused life.
It's a God-infused life. And see, I think this is part of this whole dualistic mentality we have in the church of the whole sweet by and by thing, that our whole purpose is to get to heaven and then to get as many people to go with us as we can.
Right.
The problem that ends up happening is that we begin to devalue our everyday experiences here.
Yeah.
So that unless we're doing something quote unquote spiritual,
right,
it doesn't matter.
Well, and relationships that we have with people then become guided by what we can get out of
them.
They
become contrived.
Yeah. You know, I want to get them to my church or whatever. Like not always, but in recent years, it has really amazed me how often we do things to try to get people to our church. You know, we're building relationships so that with the goal of them coming to our Sunday meeting.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about the institution. I'm not talking about our home fellowships. But
no, you can't come to our Sunday meeting. We don't have one.
We don't have a Sunday meeting. That's right.
It's football is on Sunday, people. Don't you people know anything?
Oh, come on. Now they're burning our picture all over again.
Yeah, we'll have to burn it in my website. Panther jersey. I'm sorry.
Hey, the Panthers looked pretty good yesterday. Woo!
Come on. Don't get me on my rabbit
trail. No, I won't. So yeah, the idea of just allowing God to infuse our life so that relationships just become whatever God wants them to be.
Yeah.
And we're not measuring things by, you know, well, let me put it this way. I've often heard it said, and I can't verify this 100% for myself, but I've heard it said by a lot of people. And read it on the internet, so I know it must be true, that when Jesus said the Great Commission, which we translate as go ye into all the world, that he was using a tense of the verb that basically is saying while you're going or yeah. as you're going,
yeah.
make disciples. So it's not that we go and look for people that we can witness to necessarily. Right. I'm not saying God doesn't call some people to do that.
Sure.
But I think in terms of what Ian was bringing up about everyday spirituality, this idea that as we are going into the world, just as we're living our life infused by the Holy Spirit, that when people come across our path and the Spirit puts it on our heart to say something to them, then we're able to share with them out of our heart, like you said, out of our overflow.
Right, exactly.
And we're not really forced then to try to manufacture something or to contrive something, but rather to just live. And as we're going into the world, as we're living our lives, we're making disciples. We're influencing people, no matter what regardless of whether it feels spiritual or not.
Yeah.
It is, because we are spiritual and we're living a life of Christ.
We're spiritual beings. I think that's what we got to get in our mind is, anything we do cannot be anything but spiritual.
Right.
You know, whether it be for good or for evil.
Exactly, yeah. So if we're going into a church meeting and we're doing things that aren't really what we would do,
right,
then I think that automatically becomes contrived.
That's a great way of saying it. You know, when we go in there with something that we have to put kind of our Sunday.
Yeah, exactly. See, and this is what I grew up in. You wear clothes that you don't wear any other time of the week.
Mm.
You talk to people
that
you
don't. Your Sunday best.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You talk to people that you don't see any other time of the week, unless you go to Wednesday night church. You know. But anyway, when you go to a church meeting.
Is that when the Holy Spirit comes?
I guess, yeah. It's when only the really faithful people come. I know that much. That's what I was taught. You know? Yeah, the Trinity, like, take turns showing up. You know? Father comes on Sunday morning. Jesus comes on Sunday night. And the Spirit comes on Wednesday.
I used to hear people. The people that loved the pastor came on Sunday morning, but the people who loved Jesus came on Sunday night.
That's right.
I was like, oh, God.
Yeah. We find all kinds of ways to label people, don't we?
We sure do.
But, you know, when we do those things in that artificial environment, this is really one of the reasons why I love meeting with people in a restaurant or especially in a home. Not because I'm not any real big proponent of house church per se,
right?
But I love meeting in a casual environment like a home because you're yourself. It's who you are, you know? And, like our family, my family meets with some other people on a fairly regular basis.
Yeah.
And we just meet around the table for dinner in one of our homes and we just share life together. You know, we talk about what's going on in our lives. We talk about what God's showing us in the Word or in, you know, our hearts or whatever, but it's nothing contrived. And we don't sit there and go, okay, how can we get God to show up? Because, you know, Jesus told us, and this part blows my mind that we overlook this all the time. Jesus said, where two or more gathered in my name, I'll show up eventually.
I'm there.
Right? No, he says, I'm there.
I'm there.
I'm being silly with it. So,
well, after you sing the two slow songs, two fast songs.
Exactly. Yeah. Where two or more gathered in my name and they sing the right song.
Right.
I'm in the midst of them.
I think that's in there somewhere.
He's there.
Yeah.
He's there. So why do we have to contrive something or force something to happen so that he, quote unquote, shows up? He's already there.
Yeah.
And well, we can just enjoy his presence.
And all the songs that I know that we sang in the institutional church so many times, I'm making a, you know, hyperbole here. Not all. A lot of the songs.
99.9%.
So many of the songs that we sang within the institution had to do with God show up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm thinking, you know, that just totally undermines our faith in the fact that he's here.
Well, and I've been in situations too in services where the statement will be made when you get to that point where you feel like, okay, God has shown up. I've been in services where whoever's leading the service will say, you know, boy, the Spirit of God is really here with us now. So if you need something, if you need a touch,
you better run and grab his garment.
Yeah, you know, now's the time to ask for it because he's here. Like, well, where was he at the beginning?
Pass me not, O gentle Savior.
Lord have mercy.
You know, that's the mentality. It is. He's passing by.
I just can't. And get
if
over
you
your
don't
singing.
Reach out, if you don't reach out for the hem right. of his garment,
right.
he's gone. You've got your chance. But to me, this is, and we've talked about this.
Yeah.
This is one of our themes we keep coming back to. Mm-hmm. It's the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant.
Yeah, right.
The old covenant is all about time, space, location. Mm-hmm. You know,
appointed people.
Whereas the new covenant is all about God is with you.
Yeah.
Eugene Peterson says it in the Message. I was trying to look it up here, but my program's not exactly working. I can't quote it exactly, but it's a scripture where Eugene Peterson says that he says that God is with us in our everyday eating, sleeping life. I can't remember how he says it, but he says something about in your everyday walking around, eating and sleeping life.
Yeah.
That God is there. And I thought, you know, that is so, that will revolutionize your life.
Sure.
When you get a hold of the fact that God is just as much with you when you're taking a shower as he is when you're on stage preaching a sermon.
Right.
When we get a hold of that, then all of a sudden we're able to become real.
Yeah.
And when we're able to become real, you know, it's like that scripture, you know, that be still and know that I am God.
Mm-hmm.
There's one translation I love how it says it. It says, cease striving.
Yeah, right.
And know that I am God.
Yep.
I think that's what
stop
happens.
Stop trying to make something happen.
Yeah. Stop trying to work it up and just know that I'm God. You don't have to work up the show.
Well, and this kind of goes along with what we were talking about when we talked about the purpose-driven life a few episodes back. And we talked about this fear that's generated then of missing something that God's doing or that God wants to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether it's our purpose in life or whether it's as a corporate body feeling like, you know, what if God shows up? Like up in Virginia where we're living part time now, they had some tent revivals going on up there about a month ago. And I was reading.
Everybody knows God shows up when you have a tent.
When you have a tent, yeah. He's a real camping kind of guy.
He is. God, I mean, it goes back to the tabernacle.
Well, that's true. Yeah, maybe that's where that came from. I had never thought of that.
The tent of meeting? We're not being biblical, Steve. I'm in
that's
a room
right.
of meeting.
Yeah,
sorry.
That's right. But anyway, I read this interesting news article about these revivals, and they were interviewing some of the pastors of the churches that were coming together for these revival meetings. And the one pastor, I kid you not, maybe I shared this with on here before, I don't know, but the one pastor said, you know, you better show up every night because the one night you don't come is going to be the night that God shows up and does something great and you're going to miss it.
Wow.
Now, what kind of message does that send?
That God is basically waiting till you screw up.
Yeah.
To really do something important, and that chances are you're going to miss it because we're all going to screw up.
Right.
And therefore, God knows when you're going to screw up. So he's just waiting for you to, so he can let you miss your blessing.
One of the blogs I really enjoy reading is called Kingdom Grace. And this gal writes under the pseudonym Grace.
We love you, Kingdom Grace. Shout out.
Woo-hoo. Yes. KingdomGrace.wordpress.com. Great blog. And I love the thoughts that she brings to the table. And she wrote a post that's recent at the time we're recording this. Talking about this fear of missing God. And she said, is it safe for us to assume that if our hearts are, I'm paraphrasing her, but you know, if our hearts are turned toward God and we're really seeking after him, is it safe for us to assume that he's going to allow us to find him?
Yeah.
You know, we have this mentality that God is, like you said, waiting for us to trip up or waiting for us, like he wants us to miss it. And I don't get that. Why would God want us to miss it? You know, I don't want my kids to miss something that I'm doing for them. I want them to be able to catch it. And you actually share the metaphor
you
shared with me
that.
At breakfast this morning about the Easter eggs.
Just to
pagan things that they are.
pagan alert.
Easter eggs. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
BeyondThePagan.com.
BeyondThePagan.com. We, you know, I've got a good friend that was sharing with me just a kind of a word picture that God had given them about this. And it was the idea of an Easter egg.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, when a child is, say, 3-4 years old, the parents on Easter, if they're good pagans, they go out and hide Easter eggs with candy in them or you know, a little bit of change or something
right.
like that. But when they hide them, they don't hide them from the children.
Right.
They hide them for the children.
Yeah.
They hide them with a view to that child finding them. Mm-hmm. And they take great joy in helping point that child to where that egg's at.
Right.
The parents don't want to leave one egg unopened.
Right.
And in the same way. So
they'll
way,
like go stand next to where it is.
Yeah.
Hey, did you look over
You're
here?
You're getting warmer. That's right. You know?
Did you look under this rock right
yeah.
here?
Did you look right there at the edge of the carpet, honey? You know, but the yeah. beauty of it is our Father's like that.
Yeah.
He doesn't hide anything from us.
Right.
But he hides a lot of things for us.
Yeah.
Because he delights not in the destination,
mm-hmm.
but in the journey.
Yeah.
And I think that's where everyday spirituality really comes to a head, is that the focus of institutional spirituality
mm-hmm.
is on the destination. It's on get to heaven and yeah. take as many people with you as you can.
Yeah.
You know, this world is going to hell in a handbasket.
Right.
So grab all the people and let's go to heaven.
Yeah.
Whereas I think that the Jesus brand of spirituality is, put a TM on the end of that.
That's right.
The Jesus brand of spirituality.
Get your t-shirts now.
That's right. I think the Jesus brand of spirituality is that the destination is not only important, but it's just as important, or maybe, dare I say, even more important than just the destination.
The journey itself.
The journey yeah. itself. The fact of you walking, not the road for the rest of your life, but through eternity.
Right.
With God.
Yeah.
But that's,
we have yeah. a tendency to think that eternal life starts after this life ends.
Right.
But we now have eternal life.
Yeah, that's right.
When we're in Christ, I mean, I think the book of John says, those who have believed in Christ have already passed from death into life.
That's right.
We are living eternal life now. So there's really not anything, I mean, there are obviously some realities that we can hope for and wait for after this life, but that's almost diminished by the fact that we already have the kingdom of God within us.
I mean, that's what Jesus said. He said,
yeah.
fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to bring you the kingdom.
Yeah.
And he told even the Pharisees, he said to them, the kingdom of heaven is within you.
Yeah.
It's within you.
Yep.
You know, it's not something that you've got to go out and work up or go out and find. It's something that is here, it's now, and it's mm-hmm. something that God wants you to experience when you're washing the dishes, when you're using the restroom,
yeah,
and when you're watching Panther football.
Oh, no, I don't know. I'm not sure about that one. But
just as much as anything else.
Yeah.
God is about the everyday mundane things,
mm-hmm.
and to me, that's why Jesus brings such an abundant life. It's not just the big things. It's the fact that the little things are the big things.
Yeah.
In the book, The Shack, which a lot of you out there have probably read, I love something that Mac, the main character, that God says to Mac. God says to him, Mac, if anything matters, everything matters.
Mm.
And that just, to me, that's what everyday spirituality is all about. Everything matters.
Yeah. That's a great place to end there, Ray. Good thoughts, man.
Bless you guys. Go to the comments section.
Yeah, beyondtheboxpodcast.com and let us know what you think.
And maybe even post some pictures of you burning our picture. Bless you guys.
Bye-bye.